The information provided in this show is intended for your general knowledge only and is not intended to be, nor is it, medical advice or a substitute for medical advice. If you have or suspect you have a specific medical condition or disease, please consult your healthcare provider.
You're listening to Tim James Unleashed. Get ready to discover hard-hitting truths on how to embrace a vibrant, healthy, energetic life. Join me as I share my exciting spiritual journey to self-healing and maintaining optimal health for over 13 years alongside inspiring special guests. We will help you to demystify and illuminate your path to self-transformation, spiritual awareness, and growth. And we'll do it one episode at a time. Let's go. What's up, Health Heroes? Tim James here with another exciting episode of Tim James Unleashed. In this episode, I was fortunate enough to interview Marjorie Wildcraft. And Marjorie was a real estate investor turned backyard food production grower. And she has been on a mission for the last 20 years to teach people how to grow a lot of food in your backyard and be self-sufficient. And a lot of people thought she was crazy, including some of her own relatives. And now she's not looking so crazy anymore, because there is a huge movement where people are wanting to become more self-sufficient because they're looking at, you know, through COVID and the supply chain breakdowns that have already started happening, the rising cost of everything, that we really need to get back to the mothership. We really need to get back to earth to heal. I talk about this all the time. You know, food is medicine. Let thy medicine be thy food. And it is a definite statement that we really need to take serious. And I just don't want you guys to get lost in the weeds like, oh, I could never do that. I don't have a green thumb. Look, anybody can grow. Okay, it doesn't matter if you're in a condo in a high rise, you can grow food, you can grow sprouts, you can grow herbs. I mean, she even in the interview, she talked about a friend of hers like growing has quail growing in her living room, producing 10 little quail eggs every morning, right? So it's like there's food to be had everywhere. It's not like you got to stop saying to yourself when stuff comes up like, I can't do that. The question is, how can I get this done? How can I figure this out? And so what's cool about it is Marjorie's figured a lot of this stuff out, and she has a live event coming up that I want you guys to check into. So there's a link down below so you can register for this live event that she's got going up. She's going to teach you how to grow food in your backyard, how to protect yourself. I read one of the chapters of one of her books and where she got bit by a snake, and she was able to heal herself at home, and her family was able to heal her at home with herbs and stuff that they just simple herbs they ground up and made into poultices and put on her feet and some tinctures and stuff that she drank for pain, all at home. We're talking just for a few pennies. Whereas her husband, when he got bit by the same copperhead snake, same type of snake, went through the medical route and was a $7,000 bill to their family for him to get that done. Now, that was his choice, a valid choice. The actual cost, I believe, was about $35,000 is what the hospital charged for the whole process for her husband. And she did it for a few bucks at home. Was actually healed up faster than he was. So this is an example of what is possible. So food is medicine, food is supplementation, food is detox, food is so many things. Remember, we are from the earth, and all of the stuff that we need to be vibrant, have good mental clarity and grow and expand and live healthfully without disease is literally under our feet. And we just need to plug back into it. So I hope you guys get excited about growing your own food. I hope this is a little nudge and push and actually going to take you to her, to the system that she's got set up, which is airing. It's going to be I'm just going to pull up the deal on it. Is this it? I think it's called like wartime skill set. We mentioned it again in the podcast, but anyway, this is going to give you the skill set so you can do this at home. Your family can do this home. You can take care of yourself. You can start growing your own food and your own medicine at home. And that's going to build a lot of self-confidence and give you guys a lot of, not just hope, but it's just going to make you know that you can take care of yourself. And we need more and more of that today. And I don't want to do this out of a fear mode. We want to do this out of an excitement mode. We got to get excited about growing our own food and growing our own medicine home and taking care of ourselves and stop outsourcing everything. Because the reality is that the grocery stores, the food in the grocery stores today is dangerous. And with 4,300 people a day in the United States dying of processed food, we really need to take a look at this. Like, it is a It's tough. It's tough to go into the store and not eat something that's not going to destroy your health at some level. So let's get that turned around. Let's start growing our own food. Here's Marjorie. Marjorie, welcome to the show.
Tim, thanks so much for having me on. You got an awesome, awesome business and love what you're doing over there.
Well, and vice versa too. I was really excited to meet with you. And again, tell the listeners, guys, once again, following your highest excitement to the best of your ability with zero insistence on an outcome pays off, because I saw Marjorie on an email feed. I think it was a Mike Adams from Health Ranger. And in the same feed, there was my buddy Jim Gale. Mike had interviewed Jim. And mm-hmm. I saw Marjorie and I was like, wow, I'd really want to interview her because she's doing all this backyard gardening stuff and how important that is, where there's this, it's almost a movement and a revolution, people going back to the earth and healing the earth. I'm actually seeing lots of regenerative stuff happening. I posted my regenerative farm beginnings on Facebook and so much love and support has been coming out from it, and people uh-huh. wanting to come out and volunteer and stuff. So that's cool. But anyway, so I'm following my excitement. I'm like, wow, I'm going to get a hold of Jim. So I get a hold of Jim. We shoot another podcast, which we just released last week. And then that was awesome. And then my assistant, Stephanie, was like, oh, my God, you've contacted Marjorie. She was, I've been following her for years. She's amazing. And she does a lot of the herbs and stuff and grows them mm-hmm. and for, you know, Comfrey, and you just mentioned and stuff like that, medicinal herbs, and totally into it. And she was like, yeah, well, you've got to get her on your show. That'd be so amazing. And I said, well, the craziest thing is that, what was it? Oh, I remember. So I talked to Jim and I completely spaced it. I totally forgot to ask him to connect me to you, but that was my thought process. I hung up the phone, and a few minutes later, Jim texts me, says, you need to get this gal on your show. Like, yeah, and so I read, so I yeah. freaked out. I was like, is this synchronicity again? I'm like, oh, maybe Stephanie. So I would talk to Jim. Like, did you talk to Jim? Did I communicate that to you? And she's like, no. And I was like, oh, that was synchronicity again. Cause I really wanted to get you on the show. I wanted to really ask Jim, but I forgot. And he referred you to me anyway. So I guess we had some telepathy going on there, or something.
It's meant to be. It's meant to be.
Yeah. So let's get into who's Marjorie Wildcraft. Why don't you tell us about your background? Because you didn't start off, well, I mean, actually, as a kid you did, but you came back to the dirt, and I guess you did estate too.
Yeah, actually, I never, like, I wasn't born in a hippie commune or living off the land or anything. We grew up in a small suburban home in South Florida, and from a daughter of an artist and a photographer. So there's no farming or anything in there. What happened in my family, my father being an artist and my mom being a photographer, you know, we were not very wealthy. Actually, it was a pretty poor family. And like a lot of kids who come from poor families, I was always very interested in money. I got a degree in electrical engineering, and then I always wanted to live overseas. So I traveled to, got a job where I was an expatriate manager in Hong Kong. And while I was there, my friend said, hey, Marjorie, you got to take this class from this guy named Robert. It's all about wealth. And I said, well, do you know that guy? And they said, no, we never heard of him before, but we think it's going to be good. And I said, well, take a chance. And that class, I ended up taking several of them. And it just blew my mind with these concepts I'd never heard of. Long story short, I moved back to the mainland and chose Austin, Texas as a real estate market, and created a real estate investment business that was so successful that Robert asked me if I would be a testimonial on his infomercials for Time Life magazine. And so for 4 years, I was on national television for Robert Kiyosaki, rich yeah. dad, poor dad, you know. So there's still a big leap. Like, how did I get into growing food? So I was volunteering on a project. I love to get involved in my community. And I thought this is so innocent, like nothing. I didn't realize it was just going to completely turn me upside down and destroy my life as I knew it. It was a project to get locally grown food into a small elementary school. And that project was a complete failure. And it failed because we were living in Central Texas, like just a little bit west of Austin or east of Austin, right? That's a considered quote unquote progressive area, right? There weren't enough farmers to provide even part of the vegetables for one small rural elementary school. And I will never forget that night when we realized that. It was a group of us that had been meeting, volunteers, and I couldn't stop shaking. I just might like physically, my body just shook for hours because I knew there's only 4 days worth of inventory in the grocery stores. Food travels an average of 1,500 miles. And at that time, it's bigger now. I was surrounded by 20 million Texans who are armed to the teeth. I'm like, I hope this never happens, but it could happen very, very quick and it would be horrible. So I just said, I've got to learn how to grow food and I need to teach other people how to grow food. And we have to completely redo the entire food supply, food shed from the ground up, all over the place. It's not just the United States, it's everywhere, right? This whole centralized, commercialized agriculture that creates nothing but empty calories and toxic stuff. It's gotta end.
Are you telling everybody that processed food is not good for you?
Yes, I am telling you that. I'm telling you, actually, we used to say you could go in the grocery store and you could be a perimeter shopper, right? You used to be able to, maybe pick. You can't, there's nothing in the, go get your toilet paper and your Ziploc bags, but there's nothing to eat in a grocery store anymore. Not a single thing. So, I first of all, I had to learn how to grow food because I didn't know anything, right? Engineering and then, investments and finance. And so I went like crazy, like a mad woman, taking every permaculture course and gardening course and citizen forester and, just every class, homesteading and anything that was available. And hanging out with barefoot crazies in the national forest because they weren't too skinny and they were healthy and they were living off of the land directly. And so anywhere I could figure out how to grow food and how to do it, I said, and I started teaching and one thing led to another and the Grow Network, it just kept, we kept finding more problems that needed to be addressed. So treating infections without antibiotics, right? We know that that is coming to an end. They have been way overused. That's how actually MRSA and a bunch of these other untreatable, viruses or diseases or whatever have come to be as the overuse of antibiotics. And it turns out that a lot of the techniques that they used, back in the day with the Romans and the Greeks when they bastened each other with swords and stuff, sure, a couple of the guys died from their wounds, but by and large, a lot of them all survived. And they used very simple medical techniques, herbal medicine techniques that are still extremely potent today. So I started teaching people how to treat infections without antibiotics and basically in home medicine and how to take care of your teeth and how to, how to preserve food, all this stuff, right? Because, just it's kind of ends up being a whole lifestyle, how to build community. And and then, I did have that business background and created a website, created a business, started hiring people, making products. Yeah, that's how the Grow Network was born, though. I pretty much sold the real estate business right away, and I did take a lot of flack from it. And bless her heart, one of my sisters-in-law is a born and bred Texan, and she's like, Margaret, I gotta tell you, girlfriend, this is the United States of America. We are never going to see any empty shelves in our grocery stores, and we are never going to have any supply chain problems here. You just need to kind of wake up and get with the program because what you're doing is stupid. And I said, well, I know what I know. This is what I've been called to do. And yeah, and then when 2008 came around and then 2020 and all that, and then a lot of people are like, maybe she was right.
Well,
So
it's
not
kind of like, when you, I guess a good analogy would be you're pretty familiar with where you grew up. You know all the roads, you know where the stores are, where people live. If something happens, you can run over to your friend's house over here or do this, that. You kind of know the lay of the land, right? Somebody from out of town, they're broke down, they need help, they don't know what to do, they have no infrastructure, there's no community there. And then, you know, you obviously you help them out.
Yeah.
But they're kind of clueless because they're in a different place, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're not. It's the same thing with food as an example. So we've outsourced our food, and let's say you're home, you know, it's like you're going to your grocery store, you're used to it. You go down, oh, I need some celery and this and that tonight, and what are we gonna have dinner? And then you go grab it and you go home, it's no big deal.
And but it's always there. Some of these stores are open.
The grocery
24
store
hours.
Closes all of a sudden with COVID, you know, the toilet paper's gone. You know, and just weird stuff start happening, and then supply chain delays, and the truckers start striking. And most people don't realize in 4 days, if the truckers aren't shipping stuff, you're out of food. Yep. Food's done in the major big cities. And if there's no food in 4 days, the people are going to lose their shit very quickly. Right. And then it's absolutely a problem because we've outsourced it. And this is what's happened. We've outsourced our health so much. And that's what I did. I didn't think about it because I was just part of society going along with everything.
Yeah.
Now I've insourced my health. I take 100% responsibility for all aspects of my health and boosting my immune system, and I've learned so much, and I'm so confident now. I don't worry about getting sick. I don't worry about heart disease. I don't worry about getting cancer. I don't worry about any of this crap. I feel fantastic. I'll be 51 this year, and I feel amazing. As soon as we get off the phone, I'm gonna go trail run up in the mountains, come back, nice. Mow the lawn, take my dad to a restaurant where I play music with a bunch of old folks, old timers, a little acoustic jam. It's like I'm having a good time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
The point is like when you heal yourself, like I did, you gain another level of confidence. It's like, well, what else can I do? And you start realizing how powerful you are. Mm-hmm. And right now, I have my celery. Just so you know, you're gonna appreciate this, like. I started taking my celery stalks when I got done with them instead of throwing the ends away. I have trays now, and I'm putting them in
and
the trays.
Regrow them.
And they're regrowing, and then I'm going to transfer them into pots. And eventually I'll have enough of them. I don't need to buy celery anymore, Marjorie.
Yeah.
I'll have my own.
Yeah.
Right? And then how much money does that save me? A lot. What's the quality of my celery? Much better. You see what I'm
absolutely
saying? You don't know what other people are doing between you and your food chain, in the food chain, between you and your food. You just don't know anymore. That's what she was alluding to earlier. It's like nothing's safe anymore, especially with gene editing and now putting certain things like putting vaccines into your vegetables. You're going to get it.
Yes. Oh my God. I can't believe that. And it's confirmed. They have confirmed that they can do it in spinach and they can do it in lettuce. Like it's not a, you know, conspiracy theory thing. They already have it. And they're actually starting in some states to put plastic legislation to say, hey, no, you got to label stuff if you've used that. And there's a big fight going on over that now. But it's just insane. Who wants
that,
a vaccine?
That is BS. I guarantee you those people that are saying, well, you need to label that stuff. You are wasting your time. Because that is just a slow, slippery slope. It's like, absolutely not. Get out of here. Or yeah. there has to be a line in the sand on that deal. But it's easy. We don't have to get involved in any of that fight or anything. You just start growing your own stuff at home.
Exactly. Exactly. And you'll be so much healthier for it. So I host different summits and events regularly. I've been doing it for, gosh, almost a decade now. And 1 year I had Dave Asprey was my keynote speaker. And if you don't know Dave, he is known as the father of biohacking. And he has a very, very wealthy guy, really into longevity, like, and he has a stated goal to live to 180 years, and he's got the latest with nootropics and stem cells and cryotherapy and
you're talking
whatever.
About Brian?
No, not Brian, but he's very similar to Brian. His name is Dave Asprey. Yeah, I've started following Brian too. They're both interesting. They're both really interesting. Whoops, hang a second. This is Puerto Rico. I don't know if you can hear that or not.
I can hear you.
Anyway, so you might be saying, why would a guy like Dave Asprey, who's this high-tech, multimillionaire, longevity expert, why would he be a keynote speaker on a homegrown food summit? Like, does that connect at all? And here's how it connects. I'm sorry if that's interfering. This
I can't hear nothing.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. The way the community communicates here, instead of paper or newspapers, or they do use Facebook, but they have guys drive around in a truck with speakers making announcements. It's kind of fun. Anyway, I'm glad this microphone cut that all out. Anyway, Dave Asprey, all of the centenarians that have been interviewed that are the ones you want to be, you know, like clear and alive and doing stuff, you know, not the centenarians who are on an IV and in bedridden, but the ones that are still engaged in their community and doing purposeful work and that kind of thing. They all grew their own food or had access to homegrown food for pretty much most of their life. And Dave Asprey himself has a 12-acre homestead where he has his own food supply. Now, I don't think he's actually doing a lot of the work, but he has his own food supply because it's the foundation. And he and I had a very long conversation that, yeah, all the supplements, and I think he's got a $40,000 a month supplement bill, like all the supplements, all the stuff, the foundation of all of it is extremely high quality food that has been grown like in your backyard.
Yeah.
So it's a longevity.
Food is medicine. It's been said over and over. And maybe people are maybe getting a little numb to that, but let's unnumb and realize how powerful that statement is.
Yeah. And you know, I've been doing this now for 20 years, teaching people how to grow food and encouraging more people to grow food. And I have to say, it's been like banging my head against a wall. And a little while ago, I had this big epiphany. I don't know how many movies you watch or sitcoms or, you know, the media. They portray farmers to be idiots. If anybody's gardening or something, usually it's a doddering elderly person who has lost their mind. You know, I mean, they just don't portray it in any kind of favorable light. And they make it sound like it's going to be horrible. The only people that would ever do this are completely desperate illegal immigrants. I mean, the narrative on growing food, it's designed to program you to not want to do it. And so I've been dealing with that for actually a couple of decades now of saying, hey, you know what? This is actually the best thing you're going to do every day. Get outside in the yard and water some things, take care of your chickens, you know, check up on things and be outside in the sunlight and nature and engaged with your own food supply. And then the food, oh my God, you know, the nutrient density, your tongue knows. When you grow your own food, you're growing it in your own soil. You're mineralizing that soil. You're working to have that soil be as vibrant as possible. And by the way, that is the secret to a green thumb, is really, really good, high quality soil. Your plants are going to be much, much easier to take care of. They'll resist diseases and insects, and they'll produce a lot bigger yield. And but you'll taste it. You'll know it because it's, the plants get those nutrients from the soil. And you can take, you know, like I go out to eat very rare occasions, but, you know, sometimes it's happening socially and I don't want to be a misfit. And I can tell you.
I want to be a total misfit.
Well, yeah, I hear you, but
I really don't care anymore. I'd rather have the shock value of people. And you're right that, you know, that social, and sorry to cut you off on your thought pattern, but you brought something up I wanted to speak about, which is the social indoctrination, the TV shows and all this stuff. And it's so funny because I can tell people, like, look, if you keep eating that stuff, you have a 50% chance you're going to get cancer. You want to flip a coin on that deal?
Yeah.
Oh, and then they just, well, I don't know. And then they kind of quickly forget about it. Yeah. You know, and then they go have their vanilla or their raspberry ice cream. But when I tell them, hey, did you know that most vanilla flavoring and raspberry flavoring on the commercial end is from the anal secretions from a beaver? They're like, what?
What? I didn't know that.
And
then they
freak out. Yeah, there's a gland, an anal gland, and that's how they get a lot of the vanilla flavor and some of the raspberry flavor.
Jeez. Yeah.
From vanilla beans. A beaver anus.
Yeah.
Right. So
vanilla beans are hard to grow, and they're
maybe
like,
we
you
need
buy
to get better. We need to get better at our marketing, Marjorie. I'm just like, hey, yeah, don't talk about cancer, but just talk about like, hey, like
beaver,
you like
glands.
Beaver anus secretions. Yummy.
Oh my God, that could be interpreted some bad ways. Let's change the subject. Oh my gosh,
you're gonna think about that before a vanilla ice cream cone, I guarantee you. Now
you know,
like,
I haven't had vanilla ice cream in so long. Boy, you're inspiring me to run down and get some of that stuff that's made from like real cream and good things. They've got a couple of paleo versions that are pretty decent anyway. So you have been programmed, like whether you're aware of it or not. I think actually that's part of what humanity is going to be doing for the next decades, if not generations, is unwinding all the programming that we have been subjected to.
Yeah.
We do not have any idea. We're a species with amnesia. Whoops.
It's part of the detox thing we have to do, you know?
Yeah. I have a thing on my phone that every hour on the hour it rings, and it's just a little chime, and it reminds me to stop for a minute and say, this moment is wonderful. You know, like here I am with Tim and his community, and we're talking about good things that are meaningful. And this moment is wonderful. So, and you know
That's
what?
Cool.
If you do, it's like from 9 to 5, I don't do it in the middle of the night, but if you do that every hour and just really feel it, oh, your life will change.
It's well, you're bringing yourself into the present moment. That's a really good strategy.
Yeah. And you're bringing yourself into like happiness and abundance, and you're training yourself to be able to do that. Actually, speaking of adventures, like you sound like you're really having a great time with fitness and doing stuff. I train in jujitsu, and I was using that. So
yeah, let's talk about the power of, you know, eating your own mineral rich food and herbs out of your own garden. And tell them how old you are, and we'll get into that. Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, so I turned 61 in January, and I've been training jiu-jitsu for almost 2 years. I'm about to graduate from white belt to blue belt here pretty soon. And I do a little bit of competitions. I like to do one about every 6 months or so. And the last competition I was at, you know, I train hard and I study and I love it. And, you know, and I'm winning, you know, and my coach, Steve. So there's this young gal comes up, and we're, you know, we have a match and I win. It was just abundantly clear that even though she was in the weight class, most of her weight was fat, and I'm mostly muscle, right? So yeah. I knew right from the get-go that she wasn't going to have a chance, right? You know, so I'm actually pretty gentle with her, you know, and, you know, just get that all taken care of and win the match. And my coach, Steve, is like, Marjorie, that's just incredible. Do you realize that you are like 40 years older than her? And I, in my mind, and I know he's thinking that younger athletes have a huge advantage. That's kind of a saying that goes on in the sport, you know, for every 10 years younger or older, you know, there's this, you can add or subtract. But in my mind, I'm thinking, Steve, if you had beat up a little kid, would you feel good about it? Like, in my mind, like, she didn't have a chance. You know, she just a young kid, you know, like, it wasn't fair. Anyway. Yes, I'm having.
Well,
a really...
that's a testament, Marjorie. That is, it's clear. Like, people like you are clear examples, and that's why I love having people like yourself on my show. I want to surround myself with people like you, people that live and feel young, and vibrant. And so, like, when I think about my age, I'm like, I get excited about it. Like when I'm talking to people and they find out how old I am, and then they're like, "Wait a minute, what?" I mean, people freak out. They absolutely freak out. And I love it. I love it. And it's not an ego thing, because I love it because it's showing them what's possible and how we're supposed to be. And I know, as a wild creature, if my body was completely wild and I grew up indigenous, I would be much healthier than I am today. I know that.
Yes.
Right? So I'm working towards that level. So, and when you show these examples, people like Marjorie and people like, Anna Maria Clements, a gal that works with Hippocrates Wellness Center. She runs it. She's a co-director there. And Dr. Gabriel Cousins, he's in his 80s. I think when he was like 77, the guy did like 300 push-ups, 200 push-ups, and
wow.
30 pull-ups. And he's out in the dirt, and he does organic, veganic farming, and he grows under domes to block radiation from the earth and stuff, from the sky and stuff. I mean, totally into it. But 80 years old, bending over, ripping shit out of the ground, doing yoga every morning. You know, there's people running marathons at 100 years old. There's all these centurions. The social indoctrination is like, oh, you're just getting older. When you go to your healthcare professional, this is a big warning. Okay, let's this is the emergency broadcast warning. If your healthcare professional says you're just getting older, you need to look at them in the eye and say, you're fired. And exactly. Never go back to them again, because they are either programmed themselves, they don't care about you, they're a moron. One of the two, or the three. Get
out
of
there. The same thing in my gym. You know, most everybody in the gym could be my children, and some of them could be my grandchildren, which is, that's a little weird to think about sometime, rolling with grandma. But, you know, it all works out. They've learned I'm strong and capable. So they're, you know, that's not that weird. But
Well, maybe one thing that you could do is just so I'm working on my spiritual path, is instead of just firing your doctor, because that's kind of old redneck, Tim, would be, hey, look, doc, for you to say that, you really need to check yourself and ask yourself, why are you in this industry? Because there's so many people out there that give us examples of true health. And if you're not going to be doing that, then I'm going to have to find a new doctor, right? So that might be a better approach. But So if you want to get into this journey with me and get healthy, then, you know, give that doctor an opportunity as well.
Well, these people come into the gym and, you know, it's a combat sport. So getting beat up a little bit and injuries or bruises is just a pretty, you know, it's par.
Yep.
And they'll, you know, some of them will come in and they're in their 30s, their 40s, and going, oh man, I'm just getting old. And I'm like, we're not having that conversation in this gym. And they all look at me and they're like, oh, we aren't.
Yep, that's good.
So anyway.
Yeah, and for those listening, if you're not if you're not sure what or know what jiu-jitsu is, it's basically a form of wrestling where you actually study the skeletal system, and the idea is to be able to very quickly put somebody into a submission so they can't move or to actually break their bones. So in the competitions, they're not trying to break bones, but they want to get them to tap out. You get them right to the point where you could break the bone, and they're like, okay, I'm done. And then you win the match. Okay, so that's a little synopsis on it. So, you know, so it's a physical sport. You're going one-on-one with another human being, and Marjorie's in her 60s, and she's beating 20-year-olds.
It's also really a lot of strategy and a lot of it's an unbelievable. I've always loved sports, right? I'm sports, gymnastics and track and field and swimming and basketball. Oh, you know, all this stuff, right? Hula hoops, everything, right? Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, jiu-jitsu is the most challenging and difficult sport I've ever done. I just love it. And I'm almost 2 years, and I think I'm just now getting to where I know enough to play the game. So
happening. You're actually developing your brain more.
Yeah. Yes.
Because
absolutely.
Your brain is getting sharper. You know, we can actually build new brain cells. We know this. I mean, you can, water fasting is a very powerful way to build brain cells. HIIT training, where you do high intensity interval training, builds it. Cold showers right after after you take a hot shower, and then just rinse off with cold water. Not for a long time, but these things all build brain cells. But what you're doing is you're building those, they're called dendrites, those connections towards the end of that it's like roots of a tree growing at the end of the nerve cell where the hormones and the electrical function happens. Mm-hmm. And so the cool thing is every time you build a new brain cell, you can build up to, I think, 70,000 dendrites. And how do you do that? Well, learning music is one. Learning a new language is another.
Yeah.
Learning different texts and words. And like chess, and you know, that's what they tell older people, like do crossword puzzles and keep your brain active. You can continue to build those dendrites. That's what's cool about jiu-jitsu, is because you're kind of getting both going on there with the physical activity, and it's like a chess match.
It really,
you're really thinking all the time.
Yeah, it's like three-dimensional chess. And I have played chess in the past, and this is actually far more complex. And then there's that whole mind-body connection, because you've got to, you know, have speed and athleticism, and you know what you're doing. And yeah, it's just really, I mean, it's for people who like hard things, it's a really great sport. So I love it. But one thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah, we should probably talk about food.
Well, you know, I was just having a conversation with another friend of mine who has a big community, and he goes, Marjorie, I don't really like this messaging that you have, this wartime home front essential skills thing. Like, you know, what do you mean we're at war? And I'm like, yes, we are at war. There is so much going on the planet, and there is a famine that is being orchestrated, and it is intentionally being orchestrated upon humanity. So things like the ship that crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, that was not an accident. That was an attack on U.S. soil. The million acres that was burned in Texas, which is where, in that part of Texas, 85% of the beef is produced. And Texas is, of course, the largest beef producer in the United States. You know, it was intention. They used, I believe they're called directed energy weapons. They they created that. There have been, depends on which reports you watch, anywhere from 100 to 300 food processing plants in the last few years that have had accidents. Normally, in a normal year, say prior to 2019, you know, one or two food processing plants, yeah, you know, there's an accident, arson, or whatever. To have hundreds of them is points directly to intentionality. So the another thing to look at in the EU, I think you've probably seen, and those of you who are watching this might have seen those footage of the farmer protests, and you got the guys with the thing and they're spraying like the town hall with, you know, manure, and we're all kind of going, whoa, you know. Well, what's happened in the EU is, especially started with the Netherlands, the legislature passed such insane laws that it is no longer possible to farm. Like, they increased the tariffs on fertilizer, so the price of fertilizer is double. And they changed the law to when you buy a tractor tire, you have to pay for the disposal of that tire right when you buy it, instead of the 7 to 10 years later when you actually do dispose the tire. So they changed all these laws, and those farmers are like, we cannot farm. And then they started doing it all over the EU. It wasn't just the Netherlands. It was Spain, France, Germany, you know, the whole EU. And if you've ever looked at some of those charts, you know, I know that we've been seeing a little tiny bit of it in our news feeds here, you know, or over across the Atlantic. There have been massive, like 50 to 100 protests per country in the EU. Like, they're massive. And these farmers, their backs are up against the wall. They cannot farm anymore. And that's their livelihood. That's been their livelihood for generations. And the government says, oh, well, we'll compensate you for your land. And, you know, you can't give a farmer money for their land. That's not what farming is about. So...
It goes all against the entire principles of nature, which is, you know, taking action, creating abundance, growing. It's just a natural thing. Paying somebody to not grow something is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So we thought, well, maybe that's just happening over there. By the way, the Netherlands is a huge producer of, I think they're Europe's largest producer of meat and milk and dairy products. So they're huge, even though they're a little tiny country, they're huge. The Ukraine used to be a huge breadbasket to all of Europe, and even supplying, you know, African countries. And they're probably only going to be producing about 5% of what they would normally do, just because, like, they're starting to enlist disabled men, old men, women. Like, they've been killing off so many of their citizens in this war. And then, you know, who's going to farm when the fields are all bombed out? And, you know, it's just not conducive to farming. So we're going to take a big hit in production this year from Europe alone. And we thought, well, that's just Europe. But lo and behold, just a little while, like a couple of weeks ago, the state of Oregon came up with some crazy legislation, and they started sending out hundreds of cease and desist letters to small farmers all across Oregon. Now, fortunately, the outrage was so large that they went ahead and withdrew that, but I can guarantee you they are looking for some other angle, and they're going to come at it again. And we thought, well, maybe that's just Oregon, but bam, 50 farms in Maine have been condemned. And, this is totally entrapment. So all of the cities in the United States, we have the sewage system, and the solid parts of it are composted, which I don't know what to do with that much solid waste. I think composting it is better than when we used to burn it or dump it into the ocean. The thing is, though, is that compost is full of everything that everybody has been flushing down the sewer. So think of your hospitals. Think of your Aunt Mabel with she doesn't need that furniture polish anymore. Or, you know, all the drugs that are in people's systems.
Chemotherapy drugs, chemotherapy, Premarin, Viagra, every drug that everybody's taking, which the average 80-year-old's taking like 5 to 8 of these deals. And like you're saying, just waste and oil changes and everything ends up in the treatment plants. And they termed it biosolids, and they sell it to farmers and broke farmers as a cheap fertilizer alternative. I've been talking about this for years. And so if you see your PLU sticker and it starts with the number 4, it's grown conventionally, most likely with human feces. And I'm not really, the human poop's not a big deal, but it's all the 60,000 toxic chemicals that are in the soup along the mix. That's the problem.
Exactly. So the state of Maine was encouraging, they were giving that out to free to the farmers, like, hey, here's this free fertilizer. And then they went back to all the farmers that they had given it to, and they said, we're condemning your farm because it has PFAS, the forever chemicals in it, which actually came from the fertilizer that they had given them. So that is, you know, we're all just watching what is going to be the next, you know, how
so
can
this,
we fight
this? This is interesting. So if Maine is, it's like, it sounds like a setup, but if they're condemning PFAS, is Maine still allowing manufacturers to make products with PFAS in them? And
probably.
If so, then why are they not blocking that completely?
Yeah, probably.
Points again to shutting down farms, shutting down the food system, this engineered famine that you're talking about.
And we are at war. And if you think about it, the very first tactic in any warfare conflict situation is to destroy the food supply. That is the number one thing that you want to do. And that is what is systematically happening. And they're doing it. I think they're doing it in kind of an interesting way. It's like guerrilla warfare, you know, the U.S. population, this one small food processing plant gets burned down. It's only going to be in the like little local regional news, you know, or this thing happens over here. It's only, you know, it's not like anybody that's there, you know, some of the alternative media is putting it all together and going, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right. You know, but they're doing here, they do a little there, they're doing some there, and they're doing there. And it's like this big Jenga game where they're just pulling out this block and that block and that block. And we are very, very quickly approaching where there is, you know, the whole thing is going to collapse. So if it weren't for not only the supply that they're destroying, we also have the banking and financial system is really just on life support. And that is, you know, the dollar is going to go. It's going to go. And when it goes out, like all fiat currencies, it's going to go out in a explosion of hyperinflation, which will destroy your ability to eat food. And again, it's part of this war. So I'm not a like a warmonger type person, but I'm very real about what's going on here. And that we really have to take the attitude that we are at war and take it with that kind of seriousness. And you need to secure your food supply. You need to know how to preserve food. There's a whole sequence of, and actually I came up with these 10 presentations that were airing for free on skills that you absolutely need to have in order to be able to take care of your family. So I grew up in the South, right? And I was always a bit of an athlete, and my coach was a Civil War buff, and he was always visiting all these different Civil War places, and these guys got shot, and here's this cannon, and da 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 da, right? And I used to always say, what did the women and children do? You know, they never talk about that in the history books, right? And so this is specifically designed for the women and children. That this is the wartime home front series. It's free skills that I've been gathering and teaching for years, and I want to prepare as many people as possible. It's kind of a hard message. I had an influencer just recently talk to me and said, I can't tell people we're at war. And I'm like, yes, you can. Yeah, you can. Why not? But it's a little bit hard, but you really do need to prepare. And I've really tried to dial everything in for people who have no experience. Maybe they're older, out of shape. Like, how do you do it? And how can you quickly learn? Because that's one of the really amazing things about human beings is we really share a lot and we cooperate a lot and we learn very quickly. So I have full confidence that you can pick these up and that everybody can pick these up. And then, you know, what will be needed will be for you to become a leader in your community to share that information and to stand up and help as this situation deteriorates.
Okay. So let's become solutionaries here. So you have, it's basically an essential skills course. right, to teach people this stuff. And we'll put a link in the show notes so you guys can get access to that.
Yep, it's totally free.
And you know, a lot of people don't realize, like, when back when we went to war, a lot of people, they had these, were called victory gardens.
Yes, right? Back in World War II. Yeah,
World War II.
That was the last big.
Mm-hmm. There was a big push. Everybody was growing their own food. And the reason why is because there wasn't food.
That's right. There were shortages. There was rationing. Yep.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be that way. It's so simple. It's just like, take care of the soil. And, I mean, you can even start going to your neighbors. There's, even if you live in the city, there, you can do stuff in your backyard. You can grow a lot of food. I had a guy, David Botayev, came onto my show, this show, and he, I think it was titled, and this was just a guy that I did business with back when I was a mortgage broker years ago, right? 2006 era. And he said, it was him and his brother decided to grow some food together, and they had a half an acre and they grew food, but they grew so much food that there was no way they could consume it all. So they just started giving it away. They had, on a half an acre, without even knowing what the hell they were doing, they grew enough food to feed over 15 full families. So what ended up happening was, is they got these other people, instead of just giving it away, they said, well, why don't we defer some of the labor here so we're not killing ourselves, and then just giving it away for free, which they were happy to do. But they got everybody to participate, and they created what you were talking about. They created community, connection. This is one of, besides having high quality food that's going to make you live the longest, it has absolutely shown itself to a T that the people that live the longest in those centurion communities, the number one answer, I think they asked them like 600 questions, and they found out the top four reasons why people live to 100. The number one was lifelong friends.
Yeah.
Number two, respecting elders. Number three was 80% plant-based diet and or greater. And number four was they moved their bodies daily. Well, why not start growing? So even if, let's say you have no backyard, you live in a little condo or you live in an apartment, go start door knocking around town if somebody's got a big yard and they got a big patch of grass and say, hey, look, I want to come in. I want to start growing a garden here. I want to build community with you. And if you don't want to participate, but I need some land and I'm going to turn this soil into rich soil. And I'm going to start making food and bring community in. And I'm going to give you some of that food.
I actually even did guerrilla gardening when I first moved here to Puerto Rico about 4 years ago. And I, for whatever reason, I kept ending up in these places where I didn't have enough of a yard. And I was by this strip of land, which you can walk down to get to the beach. And I said, well, just got a pickaxe and found a pretty sunny spot and started digging it up and planted some tomatoes and squash and some, you know, some beans and things like that. And when I was out there, I noticed that there was, first of all, there was this bucket and it was kind of ratty, but it had a brand new rope on it. And I thought, well, that's kind of a shame that somebody's left a piece of trash. When I saw the new rope, I said, no, wait a minute, somebody's using that bucket. And then I noticed, oh, there's a tree someone's planted, and there's a tree someone's planted, and there, and I began to look around and I realized that somebody had planted a gorilla food forest. I was planting annual crops, and it turned out to be my next door neighbor. So the two of us were doing the same thing. We just found public ground, said, we're going to grow food here. And we didn't have any problems at all. You know, we just did it, right? No. Yeah. So yeah, there's another thing called, I think it's called sharedearth.com, but there are several websites that are out there to help connect you up with other people who have land that are willing to share it, and so that you can do it. There's so many, you know, even if you don't have land, you can grow mushrooms indoors in a closet, you know, or sprouts.
Yeah.
I mean, there's herbs in the windowsill. There's, you know, this might be a little further along for some people, but, you know, I have a girlfriend, I set her up with quail in her living room, and, you know, they're producing about 10 eggs, quail eggs, or, you know, 10 quail eggs a day is probably equivalent to like 3 chicken eggs, but, you know, it's something, right? She's kind of got breakfast handled, you know?
Quail are so cool. I love them. They make cool sounds. And so that's really neat.
They do. Yeah. They're not like, you know, you're not going to have a rooster in your living room. Quail are actually pretty pleasant. So, yeah. So there's a ton that you can do. The other thing is free food, foraging. And that's also one of the elements in the 10 series. The free series is running on April 27th and 28th. And I'm not sure which day the foraging is on, but we teach you basic foraging. Like, hey, that oak tree, those acorns are a really good staple food. And, you know, all you need to do is learn how to kind of process it like this or like that. And it's delicious.
Yeah. So I heard that acorn pancakes are some of the best pancakes you could ever have.
Oh my God. I love acorn meal pancakes. I just totally love it. Yeah. It is so amazing.
Oh, and I always tell people is like, if, you know, SHIT hits the fan, probably one of the best investments you can make is at a used bookstore to get an edible foraging book in your local area, in your region, have that with you. Because if there's food everywhere, Purse Lane is, as people look at it as a weed, but it grows all over the place, and it's so good. And you go to a farmer's market, a good farmer's market, and they're selling it for $5 a pound or whatever. And it's like, it's growing on the cracks of sidewalks.
When I travel, I used to be a runner before I got into jiu-jitsu. And when I was traveling a lot, I would go out for a morning run and I would often take a bag with me. And I'll never forget, I was in Austin, Texas. We were there for some marketing event. Oh my God, if you're going to have a small business, you'd better get good at marketing. Anyway, and I'm running around and there's this beautiful, beautiful oak tree. And it's this in the yard, and this woman has this driveway that's kind of slanted down like that. And the acorns would hit that driveway and roll down. And in the, you know, in the concrete culvert before it connected to the street, it was just filled with the acorns. I mean, it was like the perfect acorn collection process ever. So I'm there with my bag and I'm shoving these acorns into the bag. And then an older woman opens up the front door and I thought, oh my God. You know, and I said, oh, hello, ma'am. I said, I'm thinking she's going to really want her acorns. Like, oh my God, I'm in big trouble, right? And I said, ma'am, I'm just collecting some acorns. Is that okay? And she said, what do you want with them things? And I said, oh, I eat them. And she said, you take all you want. They are a nuisance.
Yeah, a nuisance. Like a dandelion.
Oh, man, I came back and I filled up big bags of it. You know, I just loved it. It's such a good food. So
some of the best food out there. We see this all the time. Every fall, I can't tell you around this valley, there is more fruit that goes unused than is used. It's just falling off the trees and nobody's picking them in their yards. And oh my God, it just drives me nuts because like I see these families, they're struggling to make ends meet to go get groceries and the food is falling in their yard and rotting. It's literally falling in their yard and rotting. And I had a friend that was kind of down and out and he had some physical challenges and wasn't working and on the family property, he literally had no money and he was literally 80 pounds overweight because he'd been eating processed food and drinking alcohol. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
So now he can't drink alcohol because he ain't got no money. Can't buy the processed food. And I think he was literally eating at the end there, like rice and mustard. That's all he was eating, white rice and mustard. So he couldn't even afford any of that. So he ate apples for like 2 months.
I bet that cleaned him right out.
2 months. He just ate apples. And it was just like, I saw him again. It was like new person. It was like, he was back to college. And I'm like, dude, what did you do? He goes, oh, I ran out of money and I've been eating apples. And he was like, yeah, I got to get a job, man. He's like, I got to get some money so I can get back to the store and get my rice and stuff. I'm like, no, you should just keep eating apples. I'm like, I think you've discovered something. You've got the apple diet. And now it just hit me, which was Gerson, Max Gerson, the Gerson Clinic.
I've done that with applesauce.
He had all of his, he had those blinding headaches that he would have. This is a guy where all these universities wanted him. They wanted him to be a physicist. They wanted him to be a medical doctor. They wanted him to be like, electrical engineer or something like you. Just genius. And he decided to go into medicine and he had these blinding headaches. And then somehow he just ate applesauce and he figured out that that's what it was. And, he, you know, it was. But it wasn't the applesauce. No, it was he stopped putting in the crap that was killing him. That was getting his body to express those issues. And now his daughter Charlotte took over and ran it. And now Dr. Patrick Vickers is still running the Gerson Institute. Yeah. It's just south of California.
I had one of his presses, and we did the juicing for a long time. So yeah,
like he's you had
got,
a Norwalk.
He's got some good... Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, the amazing. Norwalk juice press. That's
well,
cool.
If that everything has a hole in it, then it's just going all over your kitchen. It's so funny. Actually,
but think,
why I'm sniffling
think about
now
that.
Is,
think about that. My friend literally healed himself out of his backyard. Otherwise, he just ignored it. He ignored the medicine that was in his backyard. And there was dandelions growing over there, too. He could have eaten, but he didn't eat those.
I've seen people recover from diabetes and cancer and heart disease and everything. And I've seen them do it on a raw meat diet. I've seen them do it on a vegan diet. I've seen them do it on almost every diet you can imagine. The one common denominator is they get off the conventional food supply.
Yep.
And they get back to eating real food in whatever way that resonates with them. I'm sorry.
Processed foods are killing 4,300 people a day in this country.
Wow.
That's a 9/11 event every day and a half. Just going to your grocery store.
Prior to the show, I was making some bone broth where you take the bones and you simmer them in water. And I got a little distracted outside and I had left the bone broth on. And when I come back in, the house is all full of smoke. So I'm like, oh God, I got to deal with this. Anyway, that's what this, these watery eyes are all about. So,
well, let's do this, Marjorie, because I know we're wrapping up. I got about 10 minutes or so left. Let's just give a real life example. So on one of your courses, I peeked through a couple days ago. It talked about, and we've been talking a lot about food today. You eat food, you get healthier. It's food is medicine, all this stuff. But there's other ways it can save your life. In chapter 9 in this one of these skills books, you got bit by your snake, or not your snake. You got bit by a snake. Gardening.
Yeah.
It's called the book's called The Grow System: The Essential Guide to Modern Self-Sufficient Living. Growing food to make something. I can't see your food. Medicine.
From growing food to making medicine.
To make medicine. So tell us about you're out gardening, barefoot, getting grounded, negative ions, charging yourself up so you can whoop on them 20-year-olds. And then what happened?
I was doing something kind of stupid, which is usually the only reason you're going to get bitten by a snake is you're doing something stupid. And I had this huge patch of tomatoes and I went in. And this is a variety of tomato that actually does not grow very well in Central Texas, but it was the only thing that I had left. It's this beautiful, beautiful beefsteak. I mean, it was a two-hander, this beautiful beefsteak tomato. And I was like, oh my God, I wish we had a contest right now. I could win, And I thought, is there another one? So normally as a barefooter, there's a rule, don't put your hands in your feet where you can't see them. But I was so excited about the tomatoes, I just plunged right into this huge jungly tomato patch, and then bam, I felt it on the top of my foot and I wasn't sure what it was. I was like, wow, was it a scorpion or what? And I the reaction I had was I jerked my foot back and I felt whatever it was dig in deeper, and I thought, oh no. And I looked down and I see the telltale double hole of a snake bite. And I did not see the snake, but the first rule when getting bit by a snake is to look for the snake. Maybe that's the second rule. The first rule is stay calm.
Calm down. Yeah.
Stay calm. And so I went up to the house and told my husband that I'd been bitten by a snake. And he says, what kind was it? And I said, I don't know. But I was starting to feel a lot of pain. And we both know that that's another thing you should do ahead of time is know what the hazards are in your environment. We know there's black widow spiders and we know there's copperheads. There are no rattlesnakes in that area, but we have an idea of what it is. And the copperhead is pretty much the only thing that's going to cause a lot of pain real quick. So when the pain started hitting me, I said, I'm pretty sure it's a copperhead. And, we took it from there. Now he knew I have no interest in going to the medical system, the hospital. And so we treated it at home. And again, the techniques I was telling you about for treating infections without antibiotics, the exact same treatments you can treat yourself for, snake bites, all kinds of things, broken bones. And my husband and my daughter, and that story in the book just outlines, what we did and how we did it. And please don't go out and try to treat a snake bite the first thing you ever do. But it's a great story to show you demonstration that as you start, you know, eating your own homegrown food, you get healthier, right? I have a high level of confidence in my immune system. And then also, as you use more and more home medicine, you also get another level of confidence. Like, you know, I tried that poultice thing on a few things and it worked and it's, and it healed it, you know? And so you get that, you know, you, that's how you build your skills. And so that story, everybody just loves that story. And before we put it into the big book, actually, it used to be a small book. And I would give it out to, we had it published, and I would give it out to fourth grade teachers. Loved it. And they said every year, year after year, all the kids would read that story and they loved it. And I think it's because my daughter, Kimber, played a pretty important role in, she was knowledgeable about herbs and medicine and how to make poultices and do things. And in fact, she was actually showing my husband some things. So I think it's because it really featured a young, you know, I don't know how old she was at that time, maybe 11 years old or something like that, right about the age of a fourth grader. And so the kids are like, wow, I didn't know that you could learn these things and do this stuff. So, but it's a great story. And to me, honestly, I wasn't even thinking it was anything other than unusual. You know, I was like, this is what we do.
A big part of that story was you guys made a poultice, where a poultice is just where you gather something, and you guys went out and gathered stuff. I think it was prickly pear, which is a cactus, and ground it into a mash and put it in the, you know, took the pokey stuff off. And then, and it just actually describes how to do that too with certain rocks, and then just ground it up and made a big thing and wrapped your foot in all this cactus juice meat and used part of it, and you were able to get through it and, you know, and heal yourself in a couple of days.
I was actually up and walking around in about 2 days, you know, back to doing chores and stuff. So. Yeah.
I'd be remiss not to bring this up because it is a snake bite. And we know, like, if you were to go to the medical doctor, they're going to give you snake anti-venom.
Well, as a matter of fact, my husband had been bitten a couple of years before. We lived way out in the country, and it was kind of known if you do something. And he had done something stupid. Actually, copperheads are very docile snakes, and they really don't want to mess with you. They're not chasing you or anything like that. He was doing something stupid, and the snake bit him. And his choice and his preference was to go to the hospital. And I'm like, I'm going to respect that because that's, you know, that's what he was doing. It might be why we're divorced now. But anyway, they sent him there and they did the whole anti-venom thing. And then they didn't have the facilities for the anti-venom to monitor him or something. So they had to transport him to Austin. And then there was this huge medical drama that just went on and on and on and cost a small fortune. And actually, once it was all over, Dave,
how many days did it take him to heal going through the medical route?
Yeah, it's about a week or so.
Okay.
Yeah. And, but it was, I think, like our part of the payment was about $7,000. I think the medical system managed to get $35,000 out of that deal. So,
$35,000 for a snake bite. And you did it at home for two days, you're back on your feet. So, the reason I said I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up, because you guys been listening to the show, you probably heard us, especially with Dr. Artis, we had him on, is that it's very interesting that when you get bit by a snake, within 15 seconds, the snake anti-venom is actually in your own urine. Maybe that was Dr. Group I had on. I was talking about that. So it's very interesting because if you're going to the medical community to get snake anti-venom, where do they get the snake anti-venom? Well, they take snakes, they inject the venom into a horse. Within minutes, the horse has the antibodies in the urine. The horse urinates. They take the antibodies out of the horse. They synthesize them. And then they sell them to you for $35,000. Right. So that's how they do it. So the other option would be you just drink your own urine. So
I wasn't aware of that. And I'm amenable to drinking my own urine.
Yeah. Not a doctor here. Not saying anything. Everybody's always got to do their own thing. But this podcast could possibly save your life. Cause if you're up in the woods hiking somewhere deep and you can't even get anywhere, especially if you're by yourself and you get bit, you know, just wait a couple minutes. Urinate into a cup and drink it, and just keep drinking your urine, and you're giving yourself the anti-venoms. But you can still make poultices. You could find some leaves and some stuff, and you can pack your foot in mud, and there's things you could do to wrap it up and assist and take a two-prong approach there. But anyway,
well, and thanks for that about the urine. I didn't know. I do. And if you're eating very clean, your urine, especially if you take a taste of it or try it. So maybe a homeopathy dose or something. It doesn't have any bad taste to it. But if you've been eating junk, it's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, another thing you can do too, it's like Dr. Group said, I think even his wife, they do this where you take the cool thing is that there's stem cells in the urine, right? About 140 a day go out through the urine. So if you take a couple ounces of your urine and you culture it for 21 days at room temperature in a sterile glass jar, I use the little tiny 4 ounce mason jars, then it makes 100 million stem cells. And people are dropping 5, 10, 15 grand for stem cell therapy. I don't know if it's as acute as where they inject the stem cells into your screwed up shoulder or your knees or whatever like that, but you take them in. Well, his wife always carries cultured urine, I believe, in a necklace for emergencies. And if something happens, there's a cut, a burn, a scrape, a bug bite, or something like that, they just take a drop of it, put it on it. But I just started a couple of days ago. I did my first cultured urine. I took 2 ounces. Now it's pretty gross. Okay. It stinks. And so you need to, he said, blend it with at least 50% distilled water or some juice or something. So I used actually, I did more than 50% because I didn't like taste. So I did 6% of unsweetened. I did tart cherry juice because tart cherry juice really covers things. Then you could do a straw on top of that and mix it with that. And then the straw will help bypass the taste deals. And it really wasn't that bad at all. So
Yeah.
Anyway,
wow,
and then you're pumping
yeah,
in 100 million stem cells. So you can do, again, God's plan. It's all in there. The creation is... it's in the soil, it's in the food, it's in your urine, it's and it doesn't cost 35 grand or 7,000 out of pocket. It's free for a lot of this stuff, and the investment
is
is small, right? You might have to make an investment up front, get some really good high quality seeds, but then you can save seeds back every year, and then you have a perpetual food system at home, right? In your own backyard. And so you know, learn it. Like
I do that all the time with the tomatoes and squashes and different things. I save the seeds and just keep replanting, and you know, it's going on. Yeah.
Okay. So what we're doing is it, and we have a it's chemicalfreebody.com/grow. That will be the link where you guys can go to, and you can get access to her course, the wartime home front essential skills course, all the videos explaining how to take care of yourself and your family. And, you know, if you don't want to tap into the whole war thing, then just go ahead and just say, hey, look, this is a very smart thing to do for me to be self-sufficient. This is a very smart thing for me to do to build my self-confidence. This is a very smart thing for me to do to boost my immune system, take care of my family, bring community to myself and to people around me and connect. It is just a very smart thing to do. So you can take it as a positive side. These other people that are choosing to do whatever they're doing, that is a very valid choice. We have to honor them for doing whatever things they're doing. But we also have our choice in what we do. And to not operate out of a fear mode, but to operate out of an abundance mentality and getting excited about, okay, well, they've created so much contrast, it's kind of forcing the issue now. And it's like, I'm going to get excited about this. And, you know, I'm right in the middle of it, Marjorie. I've been picking rocks every day. I go out when it's right before dark. I'm picking rocks. Then I grab the tractor and I rotivate it again, and more rocks come up, and I just keep pulling rocks and pulling rocks and pulling rocks. And then, because I know Sunday I got to go pick up manure, right? I got to go pick it up. So I got to get this thing done. And then after that, then the bark chips and the wood chips are going to go on top. So
nice. It's like, that sounds like it's
going to
be great.
And the mycelium's going on, and the super soldier, fulvic humic. And then I just thought about this. I'm going to call because I can get, there's another mineral thing that's called Ionic Ocean Minerals. I'll be spraying that too. And I'm going to just create the most richest soil in the world. That's my goal.
It's going to be amazing.
Property. Yeah, it's cool. And it's just like getting the first, you know, quarter acre going, and it's fun. It's exciting.
Building out from there. Well, yeah. So, thank you for having me on. And there's 10 streaming classes, April 27th and 28th. And chemicalfreebody.com/grow is where the registration is at. And, really, at this point, actually, I've always been a much better investor than I am a businesswoman. So this is really just trying to get this information out there, because we are at a crossroads in human history and food. I never in my wildest imagination would realize that backyard food production was going to be so critical. Like in terms of is important, but it's if you don't have your own food supply, you are totally at the mercy of any kind of governmental agency that tells you you got to take this vaccine, or you can't go in the group, you can't do this.
Well, if this does happen and we do have a collapse, I want you to let us come back on and let us know if your sister-in-law called you to get some food.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, she probably.
Marjorie,
would.
You were right.
You were right. They've actually already said that a couple of times.
I need a rutabaga. Rutabaga.
Yeah, we need a rutabaga. Yeah. Thank you so much, Tim, for having me on. And look forward to meeting everybody. I'll be involved in the comments on the days when this is live, and really looking forward to getting to know you and talk to you and answer questions for you. And
awesome.
Help you on your journey. So, yeah.
Well, it was my pleasure. And as always, we'll probably have you on again. I don't have a lot of guests on twice, but we'll definitely have you back on again.
Oh,
and we'll talk about some other stuff that you're doing with herbs and stuff. Maybe seed. I think seed storage would be a really good episode, how to save seeds and how to do all
Let's
that.
Let's do that. Yeah.
So thank you, Marjorie. And I also want to thank the listeners around the world for tuning in and helping us to continue to be one of the fastest growing alternative health podcasts on the World Wide Web. We really appreciate your love and support. If you guys like the show, go ahead and share it. Give it a like and subscribe if you want to have more content like this. And until next time, change yourself, change your world, and I'll see you again soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Tim James Unleashed. Remember, you can't get where you're going by staying where you are. If the information in the show inspired you today, then you owe it to yourself to take action on it, even if it's a small step, and get the ball rolling in your favor. Your life is up to you. Be sure to tune in next time when we'll be exploring more exciting life-changing strategies. Change yourself, change your world.